So we're talking about eternal rest today. And we know that term and we know what it usually refers to. We talk about people going on to their eternal rest, resting in peace. We're talking about the end of their life and what comes after that. You'll see this on headstones and so on all over the place, on plaques and memorials and so on, that people have gone to their place of rest. But when we think about eternal rest, in the Bible, eternity is not just about what starts when you die. It's not the out there in the future. It has an absolute timeless dimension to it. Eternity dates back to the very beginning of time and the beginning of creation and goes right through today and on forever. So it doesn't just start sometime later. It has a past, a present, and a future dimension. In God's cosmic terminology, it's yesterday, today, and tomorrow. So that means today we're going to cover, literally, Genesis to Revelation. That's a fair bit of ground. It's okay, I'll take a break every hour or two. You can get a cup of coffee and you'll be home before dark, all right? Is that okay? All right. First of all, I want to talk about some of the parallels that we see in the scripture. The Bible is really full of this, where you see one thing happening at one level, but we are invited to compare and contrast that to things that happen at a different level. Often it's a physical event, something that's happened in history, but it is a parallel to some greater spiritual event, perhaps something that will come later. And the book of Hebrews is absolutely full of this stuff. And even just in the first few chapters, it's comparing things that happen in the world, particularly around Israel, but it looks forward to something much greater that it points to. So it talks about the prophets and it talks about angels and it talks about Moses, but it then says that Jesus is greater than all of these ones, as great as they are. It talks about the promised land and the way that was going to be given to Israel as their place of rest. But that is pointing to a much greater promise and a much greater place of rest. Right, it's talking about God's people, Israel, in this sort of geographic area and this sort of ethnic group. But it's pointing to the whole world that God wants to be his people. So there's lots to learn, particularly through the Old Testament, when we look at what happens and what God is doing, to look at the bigger, more significant meaning in that. The particular metaphor that's relevant today is about Israel wandering in the desert for 40 years. So they're in a place of hardship and difficulty. And there is this promise of a new home for them, which is called their place of rest. This was going to be given to them by the Lord, but they didn't enter into it because of their unbelief, because their hearts were hard. They had to wander around in the desert for 40 years. A whole generation died out because of their hardness of heart. And so they didn't enter into that rest that God had for them. Hebrews 4, chapter 8 says, "For if Joshua had given them rest, God would not have spoken later about another day." So even that picture of Israel not living up to what God asks and not entering into the promised land, the place of rest that God had for them, there is a parallel here that is pointing at something much bigger. There is still a place of rest for God's people to enter into. So I'm going to talk in this cosmic scale about yesterday, today, and tomorrow. So let's start with yesterday. And no, I'm not talking about the song by the Beatles. We're talking about right back at the beginning from Genesis chapter 1 and 2, the story of creation. And in Genesis chapter 2, at the end of the 6 days, it says, "Thus the heavens and the earth were completed in all their vast array. By the seventh day, God had finished the work he'd been doing. So on the seventh day, he rested from all his work. Then God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it he rested from all the work of creating that he had done." What's the picture we get from that statement? So God has done creation and now he is resting. So what is unique about the seventh day that's different from the 6 days that came before it? Anybody got an answer?
Rest.
Okay, God is resting. So the first 6 days he's working and creating, the seventh day he's resting, yes?
He finished creation.
Yes, he finished creation. And he declares it to be complete. So it's not that, he's taking a rest on the seventh day and then on the eighth day he gets back to creating again. What else is different about the seventh day?
He made it holy.
Right. He declares it as something very special. And, you know, much later on when the Sabbath rest day is instituted in the Ten Commandments, you know, it refers back to this declaration by God. What else? Sorry?
He blessed it.
Yes, he blessed it. There's something special about it. One other thing that I think is really significant in the seventh day is that there's no end to it. In the first 6 days, it says that there was evening, there was morning, there was, you know, the first day, the second day, and so on. That is not said about the seventh day. So it's almost as if the seventh day now goes on forever. God's work of creation is complete. He doesn't have to come back on the eighth day and, you know, go through the next round. He's entered into this permanent, eternal rest as he has made his creation and now he is enjoying it. Now he is letting this creation do its thing. It's not like God is now on this sort of billion-year smoko. You know, he's sitting back under his palm tree and, you know, watching his little ants buzz around his creation and, you know, seeing what they're doing. God is still very active in the world. So he is still busy sustaining the world that he's made. But his active creation is finished and he is at rest in what he has done. So it's not a do nothing God, but it is a God who enjoys what he's made. When we think about rest, then, we need to sort of see what that means for us. When we have rest in ourselves, it is not that we have nothing to do. Right? Work goes on. Even when Israel was going to go into their promised land, their place of rest, it didn't mean that they could sit back and, you know, the grapes would just fall off the vines into their mouths. You know, they were going to be there to work and to do stuff. And yet it was still a place of rest. And so we also can be at rest even in the work that we do. And Hebrews chapter 4 says, we should make every effort to enter that rest. Some of the translations say we should strive for it. That seems a bit of an oxymoron, doesn't it? A bit of a contradiction. We are to work hard to enter into the rest that God has got for us. So today, this is what we have. And I'm not referring to the song by the Smashing Pumpkins. Today, this rest is a special day today that we enter into this rest right from now, not sometime off, not just sometime off into the future. But it is a foreshadowing, right? It is a promise that there is still something to come. What's the tomorrow dimension to this? Well, there is ultimately a final and complete and fulfilling rest. Tomorrow also is not the song by Chris Young, but in Revelation chapter 14, it says, "Then I heard a voice from heaven say, 'Write this. Blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on.' Yes, says the Spirit, they will rest from their labor, for their deeds will follow them." So there absolutely is this future rest that God is pointing to. Not something that doesn't happen until we get there. It's something that we enter into right now, right today. But it has its ultimate fulfillment in the world to come. And this is what we should aspire to and what we should want. That is the complete fulfillment of everything that God has promised right back from the beginning of time. So we have that to look forward to tomorrow. What is that going to look like? Well, we don't yet know. We have these pictures throughout the scripture of what heaven is like, but it's very hard for us to really grasp what it is. But it gives a great hope and assurance for those who are in Christ, that we have that to look forward to. And ultimately, the toils, the struggles, the challenges of this life, which we all have, will ultimately be dealt with when God brings us into his final kingdom. But I want to go back to today, because today is decision day. And back to the passage in Hebrews, it says, "Therefore, since the promise of entering his rest still stands, let us be careful that none of you be found to have fallen short of it." Some of the translations say, "Let us fear lest we be judged to have fallen short." Now, why would we be afraid of missing out on this? Again, it seems a strange contrast that we should fear missing out on this rest. And what are we to do with it? Well, the passage that we read in Hebrews 4 makes it very clear that there are two reasons why Israel did not enter into that rest that God had, and two reasons why we may not enter into that rest. The first is a lack of faith. The second is a lack of obedience. In chapter 4, verse 2, it says, "They did not share the faith of those who obeyed." And in verse 6, it was because of their disobedience. The gospel, or the good news, was proclaimed to the people back there in the desert. They had good news of, you know, a place of their own and a God of their own. And they didn't respond to it. We have good news preached to us, and our good news is even greater than theirs, because our good news is all about Jesus. And we also have that opportunity to respond in faith and obedience, or not respond. And the message for us today is exactly the same as what it was for Israel. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. That's the message. If we harden our hearts, we don't enter into the rest that God has for us, neither now nor in the world to come. But if we respond to the Lord in faith and obedience, then we can enter into that rest. And while we are looking forward to ultimately what that rest is going to be like, we still benefit from it right here, right now, in the ways that Ross talked about earlier. So I want to go back to Psalm 95, which is where Hebrews 4 quotes from quite a bit. And there's the picture here of two different responses to God. So just to extract a couple of bits, in verses 6 and 7, some people respond like this: "Come, let us bow down in worship. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, the flock under his care. Today, if only you would hear his voice." These are the ones who respond to the Lord as their Lord and their God. And they love him, they bow down before him, they serve him. They appreciate all that he has done for them. And then there is the other group, in stark contrast, from verse 10. "For 40 years, says God, I was angry with that generation. I said, they are a people whose hearts go astray. They have not known my ways. So I declared on oath in my anger, they shall never enter my rest." So which one are we? Which camp do we fall into? You know, are we the ones who love the Lord and will be able to be with him at rest, both in this life and in the life to come? Or are we the ones who will harden our hearts and God will declare we will never enter his rest? We will never get the benefit of all that he has to offer. That's the choice that we are left with today. It's a very stark choice. For me, it's an easy choice to make. But each of us has to wrestle with that for ourselves. Let me pray. Father, we thank you that you give us rest. We thank you that you care for us in the activities of every day, but also in eternity. You care what is going to happen to us, and so you give us this choice. And we thank you that through our Lord Jesus, he has finished the work of our salvation. We can rest in that. We can accept that in faith and enter into all the rest that you have for us. We thank you, Father, that you give us that option. And we pray that each one of us here may make the right choice about that. And we commit that to you in the name of our Lord Jesus. So just as God finished his work of creation on the seventh day and rested, and it says we also rest from our works, we no longer have the works to do to earn our salvation. Jesus has finished that. That's complete. And Jesus is resting in that now and simply offering it to us. So let's spend a bit of time in reflection and in prayer, focusing on our Lord Jesus, and then we'll move into a time of communion. So if anyone has a silent prayer or an out loud prayer, let's do that now.